John Edward joins us by phone tonight. He's well known as a psychic through his many appearances on television, including The John Stewart Show and Anderson with Anderson Cooper, as well as his own program, Crossing Over. He's also a best-selling author, his two previous books being What If God Were the Sun and Crossing Over. Tonight, we're going to talk about his latest novel, which is titled Fallen Masters. Fallen Masters is about a worldwide cataclysmic confrontation between good and evil. And in the early chapters, you introduce us to a variety of people, including a fictional president of the United States and Pope, as well as spirits on the other side. Most of these characters are awakening to a certain presence in their life or a message and becoming aware of opportunities to do good. So I thought maybe you could talk about just one of these characters. Could you tell us about Dave Hampton, who he is, and what's happening in his life?
Well, Dave Hampton is a Glenn Beck-esque type guy. He's got this out there personality. People love him or hate him, but he's got an opinion and he shares it. He would be like a male Nancy Grace. There's a no hold bars kind of a going out there what the message is. And part of what his message is that he feels like this sinister shadow energy is kind of falling on mankind. And he's doing it in a way that doesn't freak people out, but yet he's alerting them. And he's like, you know, I don't know, guys. Like, you know, are you feeling this? Like, I feel like this is like kind of what's happening. And he's got this like cable news network show that's not just news, but it's like news and opinion and Fringe. That's who Dave is. And he acts as kind of a peripheral narrator to some of what the story is that we're tracking. We are looking at an end of days, apocalyptic, Armageddon-esque type story where man has to make a choice and how they can choose positive or negative. And if they choose the positive or the negative, then they can make a difference in how and what takes place.
Well, and just to give an idea of how these characters intertwine, he has a connection with Mama G, who is a very different character than Dave Hampton. Want to say a little bit about her?
Mama G is a psychic based on a woman that I had met in the Dominican Republic, actually. We had gone to there, and a whole bunch of psychics went on a trip to the Dominican Republic, and one of the psychics wanted to see a tribal psychic. So we found this person, and we had to literally, you know, traipse through the woods and jungle, whatever, to get to her, and she spoke Spanish. And so Mama G is based on that experience for me of going to the Dominican Republic, and here's this Caribbean psychic, except my spin on her was she's really with it, and she's plugged into the world via the internet. Even though she lives on this little island somewhere in the Caribbean, she's got her own internet show, she's got her books, her following, her Twitter people, and she's got a voice. So the way Dave Hampton has a voice, Mama G's got a voice. So she's the character that really helps to set forth the concept of, as an individual, I could make a change.
Let's do one more character, Charlene St. John.
Charlene St. John McAvoy is based on Kristen Chenoweth, the singer. I always like to visualize a person while I'm actually writing the character, and she was the person that I visualized. I think she's an amazing actress. I think she's a phenomenal singer. Charlene St. John is the most amazing singer on the planet, and she winds up suffering a loss of her husband, this, you know, kind of like Prince Charles, Princess Diana kind of story, fairy tale kind of wedding that they have, and everybody watches it, and then he winds up passing, not to give too much away, but it alters her, and she loses faith. So we watch her journey of losing faith, finding faith, questioning death, questioning God, and she's somebody who's got more money and power than you could probably ever wish for in a lifetime, and how the simplicity of eating a peanut butter sandwich for her is a chore because her grief is so overwhelming and her faith is so lost. So we talk about real-life issues with characters that are real-life characters in some ways and how they fit into this story. You know, all these people intersecting in ways that they never would have met before.
Intermittently, with introducing us to these folks, you give us glimpses of some really evil forces that are at work. And I'd like you to talk a bit about what they're planning and actually implementing on Earth. And I'll just say that we're just observing and not inviting here.
Exactly. One of the things that I feel like we have to look at is that this positive and negative energy, period, right? Science teaches us that. Well, when we look at it in a personal self, when we add an ego reflection of it, it can become now positive and evil, in a sense, when there's personal intent that's connected. The currency of our world is money and capital. the currency of the afterlife or the other side or the astral, those planes, is energy. So the way people are battling out over oil here on the other side, the epic battle would be of energy. And who controls the energy? So in that capacity, we're now setting the stakes and we're kind of exploiting the slice of life or afterlife about choice and how they're trying, the dark side, you know, the bad guys, are trying to gain as much currency of energy on the earthly plane by doing stuff. So it's kind of a wink and a nod to C.S. Lewis and the Screwtape Letters, and it's got that kind of flavor.
And the angels or the good guys actually have a creed that they have to abide by when it comes to humans, don't they?
Correct. I truly believe it's the real one, and that is that they're not allowed to interfere. They can intervene and they can inspire, but they can't make our choices for us. So I believe that that's what their goal is. Family and friends, our loved ones, our spirit guides, our angels, those that are on the other side, they're there to guide us and give us insights, but they can't do it for us. We have to be responsible for our actions. And ultimately, that's what the book is about, how we take responsibility of our actions and choices and what we do here.
There's a memorable phrase that reoccurs, which is, as above, so below, was a great one to take away from this book, I thought. What did you want people to take away?
I want people to take away that they really, really have the ability of making a decision and a choice in their lives, and that we shouldn't let life happen to us, but we should make life happen for us, and to be less reactive and more proactive and put ourselves in that position. When I was in my late 20s, I got involved with ballroom dancing. That's how I met my wife, and I wound up becoming a teacher, and there were certain things that I didn't understand when I was a student competing in ballroom that I really got clearer when I was a teacher and had to explain it to somebody else. And it was kind of like my pastime and hobby of non-doing psychic stuff. But one of the greatest things that I remember a judge saying to me when it came to keeping your students on time to the music, because they get so nervous about competing and they get so nervous about trying to stay on time, that it's all of a sudden like they can't find the music. And a judge said something that I'll never forget. Don't try to catch up to the music. Wait for the next beat. It's a great metaphor for life. I mean, I haven't competed since 1998, and here we are in 2012, and I remember that like it was yesterday, because I think it's a great analogy. Don't try to catch up to your past, because it already happened. Wait for the next beat, because that one you can embrace.
I am curious about one thing. We all know of your extraordinary gift and how generously you share it. I'm guessing there are times when you have come, if you will, face-to-face with evil, and I'm wondering what your response to that is.
Well, I really do feel like I've come face-to-face with evil, but I don't feel like I've come face-to-face with evil in the afterlife experience. I feel like I've come face-to-face with evil with the human experience. I feel like I've seen and met and experienced some really dark sides of humanity over the last 3 decades. And, you know, one of the things that I put into the book that is kind of a personal mantra is that the greatest manipulation is the one done with truth. I think that a lot of people have experienced that in their life, that they trust folks and friends and family and government or whatever it might be, that what they're telling them is true. If 90% of what they're telling you is true, that's great. But if that 10% is not, you're going to still give them an error on the side of trust. And sometimes that's where we get caught short, or people disappoint us, or our expectations lead us to failure. So I think it's really, really important to come from a place of being an individual, not follow the masses, to be an empowered person and make positive choices as opposed to choices made from fear or reactive choices. And that's the message I want people to take home.
John Edward, thank you for this enlightening book, and thank you for visiting with us tonight.
No problem. Thank you for actually reading it.
Oh, yes. Couldn't stop.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Thank you, John. Bye now.
All right. Bye-bye.
John Edward is a well-known psychic whose latest book is Fallen Masters. You'll find more information about it at WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.